Good morrow! This is Allison.
And this is Beverly.
Welcome back to Shaky Understanding. This week we're talking about The Tempest.
Yeah.
Take it away with Shakespeare Abridged.
This play opens up with none other than a tempest.
Whoa.
Which is another word for a storm. And there's a ship, and it's about to be basically wrecked by this tempest. So on board is the King of Naples, Alonso, and then the Duke of Milan, who is Antonio. And then we see on an island nearby this girl, Miranda, and she's talking to her father and saying, Prospero, who's her father, please save this ship. It's going to be wrecked. I can't believe all these people are going to die. And he's like, don't worry about it. And she's like, what? And he's like, I'm actually using my magic to make this shipwreck, but I made sure that everyone is going to be safe. And then he has this scene with her where he tells her how they came to the island, which he's never told her up to this point. She's 15 years old. And we learn that he had been banished by his brother, who is Antonio, the Duke of Milan. And he used to be the Duke, and his brother rose up against him, kicked him out of the kingdom, and basically put him and Miranda on a boat when she was 3 years old. And they came to the island, and they've been there ever since. And he stole the magic from locals on the island, of which there are two. There's Sycorax, which is this witch character that he learned all his magic from, and Caliban, who's her son, who's this thing creature. He has a bunch of descriptions. He's sort of seen as this weird, strange creature. And Caliban knows everything about the island. And then, so he tells Miranda all this, and then he says, okay, go to sleep. Then Ariel, Prospero's servant, who's a spirit, comes in. And we find out that Ariel's the one that was in charge of the shipwreck and everything. He says, I did it great. I did everything you wanted. Now release me. And Prospero says, no, not yet. And there's this whole argument that he had promised to release Ariel. And Ariel's like, promise. I can't believe you're not going to do this. And he said, give me 2 more days and then I'll release you. So Ariel's like, okay, what can I do for you? So we learn that Ariel has planted everyone in groups around the island. Ferdinand, who is the King of Naples' son, is alone by himself. And then the group with the king and Antonio, who betrayed Prospero, and all of their counselors are all together. And then 2 clowns who we'll meet later, named Stefano and Trinculo, are off kind of in the same area of the island as well. So then Ferdinand comes in, who's this young boy, who's the prince of Naples. And Miranda sees him, and it's the first man she's ever seen. And she's like, wow, I love him. I want him. And Ferdinand's like, oh my God, this is the prettiest girl I've ever seen in my whole life. I'm in love with her. And Prospero sees this, and it was sort of his plan. He reveals to Ariel in an aside that, like, he's really excited that they like each other, but he's not going to let him get that easy, because if Miranda is won too easily, she won't be valued. So he's like, I'm going to put up all these impediments. So he tells Ferdinand that he's there to betray them, and that he has to work for like indentured servitude, basically, and pick up all these sticks and carry all these heavy logs. And Miranda's like, Dad, why are you being like this? I love him. He's like, be quiet, Miranda. And they go off. So then we see King Alonso and all of his entourage and everything. And they're on the island, and Gonzalo is the old counselor to the king who snuck rations into Prospero's boat when he was banished. So everyone was like against Prospero, but Gonzalo like gave him food and water, which allowed them to survive till they got to the island. And he is seen trying to tell the king there's hope that his son is not dead, but everyone thinks Ferdinand has drowned because he didn't wash up on shore with them. And they're all really surprised because even though they were in the shipwreck, all of their clothes are brand new, which is evidence of the magic that made the shipwreck. So everyone's making fun of Gonzalo because he's kind of a rambling old man. And then Ariel comes in and everyone kind of falls asleep under this sort of magic spell, except for Sebastian and Antonio. Now, Sebastian is the king's brother, and Antonio is Prospero's brother who betrayed him and took over Milan. Antonio tells Sebastian if he were to kill the king now, he would be king of Naples, especially because Ferdinand's drowned and there's no other heir. and he could take over Naples that way. And just as they're about to do it, Ariel wakes up Gonzalo right before they can strike anyone. And he wakes up the king and says, hey, our guards, like, swords are drawn. Antonio and Sebastian are like, oh, there were these crazy monsters. You didn't hear the crazy sounds they were making? And they were like, no, we didn't hear anything. Are you sure? And they're like, yeah, let's keep moving. But they're determined to kill the king later. Then we see Trinculo and Stefano. Now, Trinculo comes upon Caliban, who's hiding under like a blanket, basically, and has this whole scene about how stinky Caliban is and says, like, is this a fish or a man? And he ends up hiding under there because he hears someone coming and is afraid of the storm that happened, and he wants to find cover from the storm. And Stefano comes in and has a whole dialogue about this monster with four legs, because all he sees are, like, the limbs sticking out of this blanket. And then he finally uncovers the blanket and finds out that it's Trinculo, his old friend. Trinculo and Stefano are reunited. Stefano ends up giving Caliban wine, and Caliban thinks that he's a god because of this, because he's never had anything like this. And he says, if you kill my master, I'll show you where all the great stuff on the island is, and you can be king here, and you can have Miranda for your queen. And he's like, and Stefano's like, that sounds great. And he's very drunk the whole time. So pretty much everything Caliban says, he's like, yeah, you're totally right. I should do that. Let's do it. Let's go. And then we see Miranda visit Ferdinand while he's working. And she's just like, I don't know why my dad's being so mean, but I totally love you. And she basically proposes to him. And he's like, I would love to be your husband. And they're like, totally in love. And then back with the king's men, we see the king and his entourage. And Ariel has been sent to make them feel really guilty about banishing Prospero. And so he makes like a feast appear before them, and then all of a sudden it's taken away, and Ariel comes out dressed like a harpy and says all these terrible things and tells them that Prospero knows about all the betrayals that happened and he died because of them and they should feel terrible, and all of them are like crying. Even the people that were going to betray the king feel really bad. And then we see Prospero uniting Miranda and Ferdinand, and he says, you've proved yourself very well, young man. You may have my daughter. And then he has this whole wedding ceremony for them, and it's this mask.
A mask like a masquerade.
Right. And it's a performance done by the spirits that Prospero has power over, that he commands, and they all dress up as certain gods from the Roman mythology, talking about marriage and love and all these things. And then it's all of a sudden interrupted because Prospero goes, oh wait, someone's trying to kill me. I forgot that Ariel told me that these two clowns and Caliban want to murder me. So he goes, all right, kids, go play some chess. No joke, in the stage directions. Go play some chess. I'm going to go deal with these people trying to murder me. And so then Trinculo and Stefano are seen with Caliban. They come to Prospero's cave, and there's all these beautiful clothes laid out. And Trinculo's like, oh my god, look at this cape. I'm gonna put this on. Stefano's like, hey, let me try it on. And then Caliban's like, you guys, we need to go kill Prospero. Like, he can do terrible things to us. You guys don't understand. And they're just sitting there, and they're like, will you hold all these clothes for us? And then we'll go back and get some more wine. And Caliban's like, you guys... And then all of these spirits come in disguised as dogs and hunters and stuff and chase them away, and they're really scared. And Prospero is seen telling Ariel, like, good job. Just go ahead and scare them, and then you can let them be free. And yeah. And then at the end of all this, Prospero says, I think I'm finally ready to give up, like, my magic and my art and all this stuff that I've been in control of here. And I'm going to release you, Ariel. And he says one more thing after we reunite everyone. And so he comes together with the king and his entourage and reveals himself to be Prospero, the duke that they had banished. And they apologize to him, and he says, I forgive you. And he says, just like you've lost a son, I too have lost a daughter today. And he reveals that he lost a daughter to marriage to the son, and that Ferdinand is, in fact, alive with Miranda, and they're all going to travel back to Naples together, and Ferdinand and Miranda will be prince and princess, and Prospero will become duke again. and leave his magic on the island, buried. The end.
Whew. Today, we have a super incredible visitor. Yeah. We've got Prospero here, guys.
That's right. Thank you for having me. It's fun to hear your own biography read back to you.
Yeah.
Do you like that? So rarely you get that.
Yeah.
It's like attending your own funeral.
Oh,
but a little bit nicer.
I forgot what a naughty boy Caliban was.
Yeah, he does a lot of bad stuff.
Oh, he smells awful, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Have you ever walked by a red lobster? The dumpster in the back? It's much worse than that. That's what he smells like.
Wow.
Wow.
On that note, he did also, like, one of the worst things he does, he tries to have sex with your daughter against her will.
Oh, boy. Does he ever? Imagine this. Okay, 12 years on an island, me, a fish man, and my daughter. He's been trying to get in her pants. It's been uncomfortable this whole time. Oh, boy. Why do you think I gave her up so easily, huh? The first guy that wasn't a mutant that comes along and says, please, please take her. I don't want this fish man, this horrible monster. I have so many nicknames for him.
Oh, yeah?
Fish face, gargoyle head. Smell God. Yes, that's when I stub my toe and I yell at him.
So, in the final scene, Gonzalo says, whether this be or not be, I'll not swear. Hamlet reference?
Oh, I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Gonzalo's never been a fan of swearing, any sort of curse word. When he dumped me off on that boat, this is what he provided. I've got fine linens. I've got garments and other necessities. And a chessboard. What was I getting at? Gonzalo is... He never swears, right? But I heard him swear once. Because he puts in an extra long twin sheet into my boat. The fine linens.
Uh-huh.
And it was supposed to be a king because I'm a duke. And there's no duke size linens.
Okay.
However, I say, Gonzalo, what is this? And he says, oh, shit. One and only time I've heard him swear. Yeah, it's Gonzalo, it's going to be me, my daughter. I'm sure I'll meet some sort of a fish man. And,
As
one does on a magical island. And I'm sorry. What Beverly, what do you think about that, huh? Hamlet, yes or no?
She said no. It just made me think about it. The only time that I have seen this play before reading it, because I've never read it, is I saw this crazy 3-hour-long musical version.
Oh, fun.
Called Ariel's Way. That was an original musical done by a high school, and it's The Tempest, all from the point of view of Ariel. And I would like to tell you, I think I was about 14 or 15 at the time, so I was old enough that I should have been able to follow a plot.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not find a plot to follow. Couldn't figure out anything that was going on. At one point, a bunch of people came out in cowboy hats and cowboy boots, and they were doing a conga line, which made no sense.
Well, that's what we used to do on a Saturday night. Me, Ariel, Fishboy, Calabat, and the other spirits and sprites, we would just put on cowboy hats.
And do a cowboy dance.
That's right.
So, I have had trepidation, I would say. I wouldn't go so far as to call it a fear, mm-hmm. but I had more trepidation reading this play than I do about like any of the Henrys or Richards, because I have such a horrible taste in my mouth of seeing this piece of garbage that made, I don't want to be mean, but it was, no. It was awful.
Please do.
It was really bad. And I was so nervous to read this play because I thought that it was a really difficult play to understand.
It's not.
And it's not. It's, yeah, you even said, you're like, no, it's like Midsummer, like, you'll be fine. And it totally is. It's very similar to Midsummer in terms of even A plot and B plot. I mean, Stefano and the Drunkards are very similar to the Mechanicals. Or, you know, Andrew and Twelfth Night, my homeboy. I think my experience with The Tempest proves, again, that if you're going to see Shakespeare, you should see it, not read it. Because also, everybody is somebody's brother in this play. And whoa, politics get a little confusing.
Tell me about it.
But also, you should see a good version. Don't see a bad version or somebody's like new modern interpretation. Because it really might not end well for you. And this, I think, contributed to my entire Shakespeare complex. Mm. I don't have an Oedipus complex. I have a Shakespeare complex. I just have problems with Shakespeare. But I'm getting better.
I know.
And I understood this quite well.
Yeah.
And that's really all I have to say. I don't have a ton of questions on this play. Once you start really getting into the language of it, and we've been reading so much Shakespeare recently, I don't have a ton of questions.
Another option is to live it like I did.
Yeah.
True.
If you want to understand it, I have a firm grasp of this because it is my life.
Mm. True.
Yes.
Were you so, like, was it awful to just be betrayed by your brother, or did you see it coming?
I saw everything coming.
Yeah.
To be quite, the magic came from the books that I read, it came from the island, it came from Caliban's mother. I knew everything that was going to happen before it happened. Very omnipotent and omniscient.
So you
and
had,
an omnivore.
So you had the magic before you got to the island?
No. I had the magic whence I arrived upon the island. Oops, I'm getting into my old Shakespeare talk. Slap me now, Bev. Ow! Thank you. I arrived at the island with books and XL twin sheets and my chessboard, which I will use 12 years from hence.
And you had a cape as well.
And I had a cape.
It's like a magical cape.
I arrived, immediately enslaved Caliban, because that's what I do. And I just had magic, you know? I had time on my hands. I was a single father. I was raising my daughter just alone in the wilderness. Yes, I have a question.
No, I do have a question.
Yes?
Did I misunderstand this in the play, or is Miranda not really your daughter?
I think what confused you is he says, 12 years since, Miranda, thy father was the Duke of Milan and a prince of power. And she says, wait, but aren't you my dad? And he's like, yes, I'm telling you that I was the Duke.
Oh, So I still need to read more Shakespeare to get really good at it.
You did great, though.
But mostly I was okay. So I also didn't really pick up that Caliban was half of a fish. I just thought he was like...
He's not. That was like...
He's a creature.
He's a creature, and he's described often as being like part fish. But that's mostly due to the smell, the fact that he's from the island.
What he looks like. Kind of how he carries himself. His spinal cord is very bent.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And he...
He's not a merman.
Yeah. No. I didn't think that.
Cool.
But Caliban thinks Stefano is a god.
Yeah.
And Trinculo knows that Stefano's not a god and is like, hey man, don't do this. And Stefano's like, this is great!
Yeah.
Yeah, Stefano's my favorite.
Yeah, I never gave Caliban any wine. I had plenty of wine. It was also part of my list. I gave to Gonzalo.
Gonzalo gave you?
Yep. XL twin sheets. I've got a chessboard. I've got special garments, my cape, and a bunch of wine. And then I learned how to make... Anyway, you know what? I had magic powers. I made wine as well when that ran out, so...
Out of water.
Yep. Jesus did it. Why can't I?
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
One more thing about Caliban, though.
Yeah.
So, he's a very interesting character. Tries to rape your daughter, not so great.
No.
He was also very much wronged because you were kind of an invader. Like, you came to his island and you kicked his mom out, who was doing evil from what you can tell, really, because, Ariel's trapped in a tree for 20 years. That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's said that Sycorax isn't the nicest person, but you kick her out, and then you enslave her son.
Yeah, well, you know, there has to be a push and a pull to life.
Mm-hmm.
She was a witch with a B. Just a little 1500s joke.
I got it. It took me a second. A witch with a B.
Like the
spelling of the witch.
She was an actual witch, right?
I enslaved
her son, because that's what I do. And I get my man boy, Ariel, to do my laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of it. The salt in the sea is very rough on sheets. And where am I going with this?
I don't know.
Yes, please, Allison, save me.
A lot of historians have looked into the character of Caliban as sort of a metaphor for colonization and like going into other places and like the repercussions of colonizing. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about modern day adaptations?
Yeah, sure.
Because I got one, but it's like kind of a stretch, but kind of it works.
Okay. Mm.
Do you know the Fantastics? The basic plot of the Fantastics, guy and girl that grow up next to each other and their dads want them to get married, but they know if they're like, oh my God, you should marry our neighbor. He'd be so cute. She's so nice. The kids are not going to do it.
So when the kids are young, they build this wall in between the two houses to keep them separate. And they fall in love over the wall, and then because it's like forbidden love. They have this whole great song, the two dads do, about like, why would you put jam on the cat? Why would you do that? Just because I told you to not put jam on the cat, you go and put jam on the cat. So because we're telling you not to fall in love and we've built this wall, now they'll fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I used to put peanut butter on Caliban. Just to help with the smell, if I could paint a picture for you.
Uh-huh.
Imagine Fisherman's Wharf. All of the birds are dead. All of the sea lions are dead. That smell, collectively, is still not as bad as Caliban is and was. He's still alive, by the way.
Wow!
I send him Christmas cards.
Do you really? Does mm-hmm. he send you anything back?
No. He sends me back a picture of him flipping me off. It's hand-drawn. He spends time on it. And it's been about 500 years now, so he's very good at it, too. I almost think it's him.
Wow.
You know, we have a difficult relationship, him and I. After you enslave somebody, they really don't like you.
They're not so happy.
They're not your biggest fan. You know what? I love him, though. Mm-hmm. As much as I talk about how gross he is, I do have a dear spot in my heart for him because I feel like his stepdad.
So are there modern-day adaptations? There's a great Julie Taymor version of this mm-hmm. play as a movie. Julie Taymor being the director, starring Helen Mirren, and a bunch of other people you'll know.
Helen Mirren is Prospero?
Yeah, or Prospera in this.
Dad.
Gender twist.
You're played
twist.
By a woman.
Oh, I would love to look at Dame Helen Mirren. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that adaptation.
It's a good one. They make a lot of really cool choices, and it's visually very beautiful. And then, when I was doing some research, I found out that there's this old B sci-fi movie called Forbidden Planet.
Oh, yeah! I've heard of Forbidden Planet. I have never watched it, though. But it's The Tempest?
Apparently it's The Tempest. So we should watch that. Number
I'm
one.
Down.
But I recognize the poster. It's like
yeah, it's
a robot
super
holding a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, super famous.
Yeah, so that might be loosely based on The Tempest a little bit.
Cool.
So one thing that surrounds this play is this is supposedly, because remember that these plays weren't really published and it was sort of hard to tell if it was really Shakespeare or not, but this is supposedly the last play that he wrote. And there's a lot of scholarly interpretation of Prospero as Shakespeare himself, because he's talking about magic and all of these things, and a lot of the stuff he does is stuff that a director would do, like the whole ship thing, like being in control of the tempest that no one gets hurt and everyone looks okay. And specifically with the book being part of his magic and the staff or the wand being part of his magic as an implicator of a quill
Ooh.
In the play.
I never would have guessed that on my own.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I never would have, like, read into that more.
Yeah, I think it's a cool interpretation, especially, like, the end of this play, Prospero has two monologues where he gets very, like, introverted and is just kind of discussing like life and what makes life tick.
Mm-hmm.
And it could definitely be seen as Shakespeare sort of contemplating his exit from this thing that was such a big part of his life.
I've got a question for you, Bev. What does make life tick?
Well, I like to think that it's
hot tea.
Ooh.
She makes hot tea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's falling in love.
Ooh.
Whether that be with a significant other, or with friends, or with an activity. Meaning, like...
passion.
Yeah, passion.
I'll go with passion.
Yeah.
I like that.
Huh.
But I have passion for hot tea.
Especially when you live on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Got no friends. Got your sheets and your clothes, and that's it.
And some wine.
And your chest.
And some wine and my chess. And
is there any significance to the chess?
No, I saw a production of this when I lived in Santa Barbara, and it was really good, and they had the scene of chess, and I thought that was a director's choice, but then I was reading it today, and it's in the stage directions. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I think...
It's about the balance of power and the politics of life.
I was just gonna say, it's a game for kings. It's a game that kings play to learn strategy, and so much of this play is about sort of war between kings without ever having a war. It's about the aftermath of a betrayal,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, one guy in control of everyone feeling bad about it.
I will say, you know, when you were doing the Shakespeare abridged and taking us back through the plot, I would love to see the Tempest 2 when they get back to the country and Miranda just being like, whoa, my food is problematic. Oh my god, Miranda!
Miranda.
Oh my god! Anyway.
Miranda Borello, my high school sweetheart? Is that who you're talking about right now?
Is that someone you would say oh my god about?
Yeah, indeed I did. You know, it reminds me of Searching for Bobby Fischer. Kings and Queens and Chess. Mm. Ever seen that movie?
Nope.
Okay, next reference. Chess reminds me of Harry Potter. Have you seen that?
I have.
Okay, where they have the big, you know, Harry Potter versus the cave.
I appreciate so much you trying to put me in your house.
You understand. Okay, so...
Harry Potter versus the
king. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's about life and death, and that's what chess is all about, hence why I had my child play chess.
To teach her the facts of life and death.
And also, you know, back then I knew magic,
yeah.
and I knew the future and the
right.
past. So I knew that you, Beverly, would one day be seeing a play in Santa Barbara, and
that's
that
true.
I would be sitting here with you, and I just wanted another talking point for you to have. That's
incredible.
What it was kind of like, you know, when Stan Lee appears in Marvel movies
mm-hmm.
and he sort of winks at the camera a little bit too hard, a little bit too long. That's exactly what I'm doing there.
And I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. One cool thing about Miranda is her name is particular to her because she marvels at everything. Miranda, like, admire or Mira. All that stuff.
Oh!
Today's technical aspect, I just wanted to talk a little bit about magic in this play, and because now we've read all three of them that have sort of the mystical magic at this point. Because we read so hard to say!
Please don't say it!
We read
the Scottish play. We read the Scottish play Mackers and Midsummer Night's Dream.
Mac and cheese.
Good old mac and cheese.
And The Tempest.
Mm-hmm. And The Tempest.
I mean, Hamlet has a ghost, but that doesn't count.
There's a couple things with ghosts. This play is interesting because this is the first time we really see a human interacting with magic. In the Scottish play, it's the witches.
Mm-hmm.
And in Midsummer, it's fairies. And then Oberon and Titania, who are king and queen of the fairies.
Right.
So what's interesting about the interaction with magic in this play is often in those plays, it's either something completely outside of the realm of people and
mm-hmm.
seen as sort of evil.
Mm-hmm.
See, even in Midsummer, when Bottom is changed into a donkey, he's like, everyone thinks he's been cursed and is like running
right.
away from him.
Right.
And then in the Scottish play, it's clearly an evil thing. The witches definitely make him kill everyone and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And inspire him to betray his best friend, Banquo. And... But in this play, you sort of see it used almost for good. He keeps his humanity by keeping himself sort of separate from the magic by making... Shakespeare makes the staff and the cape be the source of his magic in this book. And he commands Ariel to help him get all this stuff done. So all these spirits are working under his command, but he's not really involved in the magic. Whereas Sycorax, who is a witch, is seen as this, like, pustering evil thing that, like, enslaved Ariel and all this stuff into a tree and didn't give him any free roam. Whereas Prospero also enslaves Ariel but, like, gives him free roam and says, I'm going to set you free and all this stuff.
It's a pyramid scheme if I ever invented it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which
the first
I did.
Pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah. Ariel thinks he's close to the top, and I'm saying, you just have to do... these other things and sign on these other people. Mm-hmm. Luckily, there's no other people on the island to sign on.
Well, they're spirits.
They're spirits, sure. Whereas we're dancing a Congo line with cowboy hats.
Yeah.
Only on Saturdays. I consider myself very, like a capitalist.
One of my favorite scenes in this play is in Act 5, Scene 1. There's this whole moment when Ariel made all the king and his entourage feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Prospero's saying, like, are they still all imagining all these things? And Ariel's like, yeah, you would be so moved if you saw what they were doing. And Prospero says, like, really? And Ariel's like, yeah, I would if I were human. And you sort of see that Prospero has lost a little bit of his humanity because
yeah.
he's been stuck being in charge of all this stuff and, like, being the puppet master to all these strings instead of
being with the people.
With the people.
Mm-hmm. Let's read from the Book of Me.
All right. So Act 5, Scene 1. This is almost at the very end, and basically everything's happened that Prospero wanted to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's tricked Trinculo and Stefano, and they're running away from invisible dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And
idiots.
And the king and his entourage have been feeling very guilty, and so that's pretty much where we're at. And then Prospero's just gathering the facts with Ariel, chilling.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're ready.
All right. Enter Prospero in his magic robes with Ariel. I'm looking fly. Let me paint the picture real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
My magic robes, rainbow colored, iridescent, and velvet. Now, does my project gather to a head? My charms crack not, my spirits obey, and time goes upright with his carriage. How's the day?
On the sixth hour, at which time, my lord, you said our work would cease.
I did say so, and first I raised the tempest. Say, my spirit, how fares the king and followers?
Confined together in the same fashion as you gave in charge, just as you left them, all prisoners, sir, in the lime grove, which weather fends your cell, they cannot budge till you release. The king, his brother, and yours abide all three distracted, and the remainder mourning over them, brimful of sorrow and dismay, but chiefly him that you term, sir, the good old Lord Gonzalo. His tears run down his beard like winter's drops from the cave of reeds. Your charm so strongly works them that if you now beheld them, your affections would become tender.
Dost thou think so, spirit?
Mine would, sir, were I human.
And mine shall. Hast thou, which art but air, a touch, a feeling of their afflictions, and shall not myself, one of their kind, that relish all as sharply passion as they, be kindlier moved than thou art? Though with their high wrongs I am struck to the quick, yet with my nobler reason gainst my fury do I take part. The rarer action is in virtue than in vengeance. They being penitent, the sole drift of my purpose doth extend. Not a frown further. Go, release them, Ariel. My charms I'll break, their senses I'll restore, and they shall be themselves.
I'll fetch them, sir. Yeah.
Can you please slap me? I haven't talked that much Shakespeare language in a while. Ow! Thank you, Beverly!
Thanks for coming, Prospero. That was a party, for sure. Thanks for listening once again to Shaky Understanding. I'm Allison.
I'm Beverly.
Deuces, peasants!
He says, this duke was... Are you magicking her necklace?
Yes.
Just exploded.
Well, I meant to talk about that. You see, I actually still do have some powers left.
Wow.
That's right.
You're gone.
This is compelling radio right now. But what happened was part of Allison's necklace exploded on part of me, and it's all over the couch. Whence we are recording this.
Whence, indeed.
Oh, sorry, the Shakespeare language. Bev, please slap me again. Ah, okay, thank you.